You know, it is wonderful to gather as the body of Christ. We are that body, and a vital part of us function as a church is the edifying of the whole body and of the preaching, the ministry of God's word. We're not preaching dead theology. We're not preaching doctrines. We're not filling in a night. I don't know about you, but even this morning as I'm going over this message that I'm going to preach tonight, believe me, if you preach the word, it goes through you first. You ask yourself a lot of questions. It challenges you. It stirs, rules within you. And you know, this morning as I'm just meditating, thinking, praying on these things, praying for tonight, I'm asking myself, our message tonight is on gentleness. I'm saying, am I gentle? Am I grown in gentleness? Am I as gentle as Christ is? Is it being perfected in me? Am I growing in this? Is it growing as a fruit of my heart? I'm asking myself serious questions this morning. And that's what happens with the Word of God. We're not listening to a dead word. We're listening to something that is our life and that we are to grow into. We're not listening to a lecture tonight. We're not storing up head knowledge and information. We are looking for the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and to change us and mold us and do that in us as a church. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and our message. The fifth part of fruit in the Spirit is gentleness. We dealt with part four last week, which was long-suffering. We're dealing with gentleness tonight. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 14. And it's just so important that we read these scriptures. We read them every week, but let's not grow used to them. Let's be very conscious of what we're reading here as we read it. Galatians 5:14. For all of the law, that is all of the commandments, all the ordinances, everything that religion, Christianity, Christ and God, the Word of God requires of us, even the Ten Commandments, all of these things. Listen to what it says again. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word or in one sentence. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. In other words, if you fulfil law, and we began with love, and really love is the heart of all of the fruit, love is the foundation of all of the fruit. If love is in place, all of the fruit will be in place. If love is growing, all of these other attributes are going to be manifesting themselves. If you want to fulfill everything God requires of you, if you're rather simple like me and you can't hold it all together, just do this one thing. Just walk in the love of Jesus Christ and you'll fulfill every commandment in the book. Intellectually, knowledge-wise, you may not have read the whole Bible yet. There may be whole books that you've yet to read. But I can assure you, there may be some promise you come across. But if you walk in the love of Christ, you'll fulfill everything that God requires of you. Or if something comes to your attention, you'll very speedily, as soon as you become conscious of it, desire to walk in it. You see, if you walk in love, everything shall be fulfilled. How simple is this Christianity? Just love God. Love each other. That is Christianity. That's the foundation and the heart of it. Then he goes further. Verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That is if you're walking in the flesh. If you follow after the desires and the thoughts and the feelings and the drawings of the flesh, you will not be able to do the things that you desire. But you know what? That isn't just a full stop there. He keeps carrying on. Notice what he next says. He says, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. That is having sex with another person other than your own partner. Fornication. That is sex outside of the marriage bond. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is a gathering and party environments created by the influence of alcohol. That's what revelings are. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and notice the next one, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And notice this in chapter 6, verse 1. It's carrying on. There were no chapter breaks in the original letters that were written. Man put the chapter breaks in there. Paul just keeps on writing here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's the same word. Meekness, gentleness. Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we just pray again, asking for your help. We don't need more intellectual knowledge. We're not coming here, nor God, simply to gather up knowledge or intellectual speculations. We come here because we desire a work of the Spirit of God in our heart. We come here because we're longing to be changed. We come here, nor God, asking that you, by your Holy Spirit, would not only speak to us, but that you would take us by the hand and lead us into a deeper revelation of Christ. We're not satisfied where we're at. We do want to grow. My God, we want this fruit to grow within us. Nor God, we want more of Christ within us. Nor God, we want an experience of the reality of the Holy Spirit taking control over every feeling, every thought, every emotion, every impulse of the flesh. My God, we want to learn what it is to walk in the Spirit and to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Will you help us? Nor God, we don't want to be controlled by the flesh, but Lord God, we do want to be controlled by your sweet Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It says again, chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. As we come to this lesson, these verses that we have read, we see two things here. A walk in the flesh, a walk in the Spirit. On the Sundays we're dealing with week by week is a walk of faith, aren't we? We're dealing with walking by faith. Walking by the faith of the Son of God that's been placed within us. Learning how to not walk in unbelief, but learning to walk and make your steps in faith. Well, here on the Wednesday nights, we're learning about how to walk in the Spirit, or to walk in step with the Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit means. You just keep in step with Him. Every step He makes, you make the same step. He's the leader, you're the follower. He's the teacher, you're the disciple. And if you just allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to be the one who leads you and guides you and instructs you. He is a paraclete. He is a teacher. And He wants to be everything. He says, if you listen to me, I'll make you more and more like Christ. I'll do a work in your heart of changing you and molding you and of giving you victory over the flesh. Just walk with me. That's what a walk in the Spirit is. Now, first of all, please notice as we deal with this fruit, that the nine fruit that we're dealing with is the character and the nature of the Holy Spirit. This is who He is. You want to know who the Holy Spirit is? You want to know His character, His temperament, how He acts towards you? This is His character. This is who He is. He is love. The Holy Spirit is love. Christ is love. God the Father is this. He's not asking of you something different than what He is. He's not asking you to be towards each other, what he isn't towards you. Is he asking you to love one another? Then he is that. He is perfect love, and he loves you perfectly. And that was demonstrated at Calvary when he died. And with each one of these fruits, we must remember this is his character. Now tonight we come to gentleness, and you need to know that the character of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. He is gentle towards you. This is his character. He's not rough. He is not harsh. He's not quick to act. He is very gentle. He is a gentleman. That's who the Holy Spirit is, as is Christ. But also further, it says in chapter 5, 23, after listing these nine fruit, it says, against such there is no law. These nine fruit, there's no law against it. That's what he's saying. There's nothing in the law of the Old Testament that condemns these nine fruit of the Spirit. You can search the Bible from cover to cover. There's no commandment saying don't love or don't be gentle. All of these things come within the boundaries of all the teaching of God. But even in our society, there's no law, an Irish law, saying don't love one another or don't be kind or don't be gentle. There's no law against this. I tell you, the laws of man will come to nothing. This fruit of the Spirit will confound every law of man, every law of religion, and even the law of God's commandments. There is no law against gentleness. God hasn't made a law against it. In fact, all the commandments promote this characteristic of gentleness. But going further, we saw last week concerning long-suffering. Next week, we're going to deal with goodness. Tonight we're dealing with gentleness. And what we said was the first three, we dealt with the first three. Now we've come to the second bracket of three fruit. And they go hand in hand. Because all three of these demonstrate our heart towards other people. All three of them reveal. The first three are Godward. The second three are manward. In other words, they're not just towards God. It's not gentleness towards God. It's gentleness towards man. That's how it's revealed. Whereas love was towards God, and it has an overflow towards man. But these second three, last week, long-suffering, now what was it? It is being Christ-like in our response when people treat us badly. That's what long-suffering is. You have to be treated badly by people in order to be long-suffering. So it's not necessarily an easy characteristic. And next week we'll deal with goodness, which is actually you being proactive and doing good for people, doing what is best for them. So you can see all of these are different. But tonight, gentleness, or Christosos, is being Christ-like in our attitude. It's not an outward action. It's not what you say. It's not what you do. It's not what you go and do for someone. Gentleness is an inward attitude of the heart that's revealed in different ways, but it is primarily an attitude. Now let's define what this gentleness is, or this Greek word is, Christotis. Literally, in the New Testament. Now, why I'm giving you the Greek word is because the very same Greek word can be translated into English using different words. And we lose that in our English. Whereas there's one word in the Greek, but it gets translated in a different way because the Greek's a larger language, a better language than even our English. Now just notice this word gentleness, that is a fruit of the Spirit. It's translated into English three different ways in our New Testament. Five times it's translated as goodness. Four times it's translated as kindness. And only once it's translated as gentleness. So we see from this that if you think of goodness, kindness, gentleness, you're getting a fuller picture of what this fruit of the Spirit is. An inward attitude of the heart. Now the root word used for that is the word Christos. It's used seven times in the New Testament. And it means to be easy, to be better, to be kind, goodness, or gracious. And it actually has a root meaning of being beneficial, useful, or employed. So we see something here that's very good. Basically what God is saying here is this fruit of the Spirit is very useful in all situations. It's good, it's kind, it's gracious. It's helpful. It's gentle. It's a highly acclaimed thing. I believe of all the fruit of the Spirit, this is the Cinderella of the nine fruit of the Spirit. It's the least noticed. It's the least thought of. It's the least highly regarded. But yet it's such a fundamental thing because it affects everything you say. It affects everything you do. It affects how you think. It affects your motives, your attitudes, everything. It's internal, away from the sight of man. But it does manifest. Now, so we see that it's not only gentleness can be revealed as kindness as well in the New Testament. And our English word kind comes from kin, the word kin, where we get our word kindred, or your kin, your family circle. So we see that kindness is connected to family. It is a family word. When we think of how a family conducts itself, there's a function of a family. We are a family. We have an order here. We have a way of doing things. That's okay if you don't take your shoes off at home. You'll do it here. See, mommy will lay down the law. She'll say, well, if you go somewhere else, that's fine. But while you live under our roof, or daddy will say it, while you live under this roof, you're not throwing your dirty clothes in the kitchen floor. You won't be doing that here. You're going to say, thank you. Yes, please, or all your manners. You're going to do that because it's a family. We're functioning as a family. We have a way of operating. So a part of that is kindness. You're in a family. You're functioning. And to be in a family, there needs to be a certain attitude. Now, we're the family of God, thank God. Amen. Through the born-again experience, through the blood of Christ, Christ has not only built a church, he's made a family. The church is a family. And I love to think of the church as a family. It is a functioning family. You're my brother, you're my sister in Christ through the born again experience, a supernatural experience. For all eternity, we're going to dwell together as brothers in Christ Jesus. But let's go further in this meaning, because I've got some things. I want you to understand what gentleness is. I don't want you to misunderstand it, because some people will think gentleness is weakness, or gentleness is softness in a wrong sense. Well, he's soft. It just means he's timid, he's scared, he's not going to say anything, he's not going to do anything. Well, he's just a very gentle person. He's timid, he's fearful. That isn't what gentleness means. That is an utter confusion of it. Now, let's just define this a bit further. We see it's kindness, goodness, gentleness. Now, this is where we get our word gentleman, from gentleness, gentleman. Now, what is it to be a gentleman? When I grew up as a young boy, my mom always spoke about such and such. She didn't say it about every man. She didn't say it about every Christian. But she would say, such and such a preacher, he's a gentleman. Now, what she meant wasn't just that he was a Christian, but his life, there was such a spirit of gentleness. He had been set apart. He was marked out as a gentleman. His character, his words, his actions revealed that he was a real gentleman. Not a gentleman in the world sense, but in the church, he was a real gentleman. Now, what is a gentleman? It means someone who's well-born or high-born. It means someone who's trained in their manners and character. Now, you know, in English society in ancient days, I know that have a tofty accent or whatever, or some peculiar ways we wouldn't want to mimic their way of dressing or their way of education. But they'd say, they're a gentleman. Now, what do they mean? They've gone to a certain school. They're born in a certain family. They have a certain name and inheritance. They have a whole pedigree of past life in their family. So say, he's a gentleman. That's how it used to be in England. Thank God it's gone now. But that used to be a gentleman. They're bred in a certain way. They've been educated in a certain way. They've been trained in a certain way. And you know what? All of this reveals something of the gentleness of the genuine Christian. We have been born into a family. You now have a new hereditary. You can trace your genealogy all the way back to heaven, to eternity, to the council chambers of heaven, when Father, Son, Holy Ghost sat down together. That's your new genealogy. I don't care what your daddy or mommy was or what's in your family line. You've been born again into a new family. And this is what we're to have. In this family, there's a certain breeding and character. There's a nobility in it. You've been born into family. And as you learn what this family is, you will become a gentle man or a gentle woman. Gentleness will grow within your life. This gentleness is to be sought. It's to belong to a certain class or family of men. Born again men are gentle. I tell you, that isn't soft. The world might laugh at that, but we're going to see tonight what a true gentleman is. And then further still, this word gentleness, it means manners, courtesy, or respect. Nothing as beautiful as manners, huh? You know, it's something that one of the last things that I still appreciate out in the world is good manners in driving, and in people, of course. But in driving, very hard to find mannerly drivers. But when I see a man with manners driving a car, I highly respect it. I take note of it. You know why? It's rare in our generation. But you know, even the world respects basic manners, our courtesy, common courtesy. Why do they call it common? Because everybody ought to have it. Common courtesy is basic. It's just basic manners. But I'm sad to say often in the church, people lose their manners. We're meant to be a very mannerly people. We're meant to be courteous to each other. Do you know, even in our own families, with our own wives, with the people of our own kin, we're still to have manners and courtesy. Even with your parents, with your children, with each other, husband and wife, there's to be a mannerliness or a courtesy one to the other. Don't lose manners. Don't become so familiar that you think, well, I'm not to have manners towards this person. Sure, that's my brother. Sure, that's my sister. Sure, that's my dad. That's my child. I tell you, we're to have manners in the family of God. Everything is marked by courtesy and respect. If a sinner walks in that door, born again one day, I don't say, well, he doesn't know, and I'm going to treat him with respect. Every sinner I treat with respect. Every child, he may not know anything, I'm going to treat him with respect. This is the kingdom of God. But further still, it means to be considerate. Now, to be considerate, you need to think. It's being sensitive to others. Now, I'm talking about gentleness. I'm just giving you a wee foundational understanding here. It means to be sensitive to others or not unfeeling. You know, someone who, they're not conscious of anyone else, they're the only person in the room. They're the only person at the table. They're the only person eating. They're the only person in the queue. They're the only person in the conversation. We need to be beyond that. We need to be very sensitive to people around us. This is gentleness. Hear me. It's an attitude of heart. It's a way of thinking. I'm conscious of those around me. I'm conscious of everybody else in this church. If you pray and you're not conscious of others, you're lacking gentleness. If you say things and yet you're not conscious of the people around you, then you're lacking gentleness. If you're eating at this table and you're not conscious of people around you, you need to grow in gentleness. Gentleness will make you very considerate of all of those in around you. See, you didn't think I was going to get much out of gentleness, but there's a depth of meaning in gentleness. It also means reasonableness. Now, you know what someone is like when they're unreasonable. You can't reason with them. You can't bring in them. You can't speak to them. Now, gentleness is manifest in a reasonableness of spirit, or it's very fitting, or you fit into things. You're moldable to your circumstances. You know, someone who can just fit in whatever's going on, I can manage with that. You're not always awkward. Two left feet, always kicking against everything. There are people, everybody has to accommodate to them. They could be 30 years in the church, everybody's going to have to accommodate to them. We'll have to change everything. You know, a baby, they say the whole home gets molded around a new baby. Well, that may be true, but after a year, that home isn't going to be molded around little baby, or ought not to be. Baby is going to accommodate parents. And it's wrong when parents, of course, it turns the house upside down a bit. There's going to be smells, noises, things going on in that home that weren't prior to the arrival. But we're all going to grow. But 30 years down the road, if Jimmy still hasn't learned basic things around the house, there's something seriously wrong. So reasonableness, gentleness is you begin to fit in. You begin to grow. You're very easily moldable to those in around you. And also it means mildness. There's many other things we could define it with. Being restful, being tender, being mellow. Do you know how they say he mellows out a bit? Do you know, you know out in the world? Well, my dad's mellowed out a bit. He used to be pretty hard when I was young. He's mellowing out a bit. Well, really, gentleness, the growth in gentleness is things are being mellowed. What does it mean? Certain things that used to show up and manifest, they're getting less, they're disappearing, they're not seen anymore. That's what mellowness is, and it's tender care, there's a genuine care there. Now, what's the opposite of this gentleness? How do we find, we've seen here what gentleness is, it's manners, it's consideration of others, it's being a gentle man or a gentle woman, it's being reasonable. Now, what's the opposite? It's the sourness of spirit, harshness, unkindness, rudeness, ungenerousness, unreasonableness, or sternness. All of these are the exact opposites of being gentle or having a gentle spirit. Now I want to give you three things to really mark out in your mind and understand what gentleness is. First of all is sweetness. Second is strength. And third is serviceableness. First of all, sweetness, and I think this is the best definition of what gentleness of heart and spirit is. It's to be sweet. If you want to think of what gentleness is or what kindness is, it's a sweetness of spirit, and it's the opposite of bitterness. If you don't have sweetness in your spirit, you're going to have bitterness in your spirit, and a bitter person lacks gentleness. Someone who's very bitter, I tell you, they're not going to say a kind word to you, are they? They're not going to think of you. They're going to say, but you don't know what I've gone through. My back's covered with scars. Of course I do. But it's just, I'm gentle. The Holy Spirit's in me. They're always a victim. Life revolves around them. They never think of your problems. It's always them. Me. I. And all the problem, everything revolves around me. So we see a bitter person is like that. But the Bible reveals that those who have the Holy Spirit in them, they won't be given over to bitterness. That's the flesh. That's a walk in the flesh is bitterness. And do you know what? Bitterness is not seen. It's an attitude deep in the heart. It's not just something you say, though it manifests like that. It's not just something that you do, though it manifests. Bitterness is something deep in the heart. It's internal. It's unseen by human eyes. It's deep below the surface. That's what bitterness is. But sweetness is also a very deep thing. It's not a shallow thing. It's not a surface thing. It's not something you put on Sunday. I'll put my smile on, or I'll grimace, or I'll say something. Well, brother, how are you doing? And go out and slander them left, right and center. No, sweetness is something very fundamental. It's very deep and it's at the core of your being. It's not something you put on a Sunday. It's something that you are. All of these fruit, that's what it is. This is what you are. Now, I think this is a beautiful way of defining this fruit of the Spirit is sweetness. And when we think of sweetness, we think of taste. Or the ability to eat and taste something. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Or the word is actually gentle. Taste and see that the Lord, that Christ is gentle. He's a gentleman. Do you know that's all you have to do? Just come to Christ. Have an experience with Christ. You're going to find he's a gentleman. That he considers you. That he's mannerly in his actions. You're going to find that. Just taste. The taste isn't gulping down. That's just have a little bit of an experience with Christ. And you'll find that he's very gracious. He's very good. He's very beneficial. He's very considerate. All of these things, there's great manners with them. This is what we find in our God. This is a character of our God. It says in Psalm 18:35, and this is King David speaking, "Thy right hand has holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great." Notice that King David was made great. Is he a great man? Was King David a great man? He was. He was one of the greatest kings of Israel. He was a man of God, a man who walked with God. But notice David says, "I was made great through your gentleness." So we see that the gentleness of God makes us something. God's gentleness working towards us will make you great in the kingdom of God. Do you realize it's God's gentleness, his manners, his working towards you, his manner of heart towards you will make you something in the kingdom of God. That's why you're sitting here tonight. If he wasn't kind, if he wasn't gentle, you wouldn't be here tonight. I can promise you that. It says in Matthew 11 verse 28, and this is Christ speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Isn't that a terrible place to be when you're burdened down, when you feel the weights of the world on your shoulders? Isn't it a terrible place? But Christ calls such people to come unto him. If you're laboring, come unto me. If you're carrying heavy weights on your shoulders, come unto me. If you're carrying something that you can't bear the weight of, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Look at that heart. He says, come unto me, I want to teach you. Come unto me and we'll walk together. But look at the heart of Jesus Christ. Look at the one who you're to walk with. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. That is his heart. That is his heart. Do you know, just before this, he was rebuking cities and multitudes. He was rebuking them and correcting them. But do you know what? For those who are weak and broken and failing and stumbling, his heart is very meek and very lowly. You see, those who exalt themselves and are proud, he resists them. Those who humble themselves, he gives them grace. This is God's action. You know, if you're arrogant and proud and rebellious and hard and fight against God, you're going to have a fight on your hands with God. But you know, when you break before him, or you cry and go, "Oh God, I'm struggling. Oh God, help me, I've got a battle." Do you know what? His heart becomes very, very tender. Isn't that what happens with us? Have you ever had it? Someone's very hard and brash. What do you do in response? It's very natural, isn't it? Do you know, they're looking for an argument, I'll give them an argument. But let, I tell you, it wouldn't matter what you bring some, let them break. And immediately your heart melts. You could be coming with a list of indignations against them. But let them break down and weep and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." I tell you, your heart melts. Yes. You had all these things to say to them. You don't want to say them anymore. Why? There's a gentleness comes in. And do you know what? God has that towards us. Christ has. But notice this further. "For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy." And notice that word easy. It's the word gentleness or kindness. So God puts a yoke on us. It's not a religious yoke. It's not a yoke of laws and doings. It's not a burden. The yoke he places on your neck in order to walk with him, it's gentleness. There's a gentleness in it. Catholicism was a burden to your neck. It laid weights upon you. Islam was a burden. All the laws, all the regulations, you'll never be good enough. You'll never attain unto it. You try your best. You're always hoping. But here is a different one. You're joined now to a person, to Christ, your Savior. And he's very gentle. And the bond is very easy or gentle. And my burden is light. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 1, Paul speaks about the gentleness of Christ. In Romans chapter 2 and 4, he says that the goodness of God, and this word goodness is the same word gentleness. The goodness of God, or the gentleness of God, leads to repentance. So we see that God, look at it, his heart of meekness, his heart of gentleness, his heart of goodness. Why is he like that? He's seeking to lead men to repentance. Men are in the sin, but his heart of gentleness makes him act towards them in a certain way. He is meek in heart. He's very gentle in heart. Notice this in the ministry and the life of Christ. We see the gentleness of Christ all through the Gospels. You look on the left and the right. Don't only think that Christ preached against sin. Don't only think that he exposed the hypocrites and called them whitewashed sepulchres. He didn't call all sinners that. He didn't call all sinners wills. He didn't denounce them all as rogues. No, he didn't. He was very gentle towards sinners. I heard someone just preaching on a slot this week, and they're on the street and they're preaching, and they're upbraiding all the sinners on the street. It was horrendous. Guys with long hair, calling them all sorts of names. A girl smoking, calling them all sorts of names. And I'm thinking, he's applying scriptures to them that Christ only applied to the hardest religious leaders of his day. He wasn't just like that with every sinner. We have a certain heart towards sinners. Notice this, Christ and children in Matthew 19. The mothers bring their children. Wouldn't you want to sit your child in Christ's lap? Wouldn't you want him? Lord, will you lay your hands on my child and bless them? That would be the desire of every mother. And here, these mothers, those mothers are pushing in around Christ, bringing the children. What do the disciples do? The disciples start to rebuke them. Say, don't you know he's preaching? Don't you know he's ministering? I can imagine, doesn't say it in the text, but I can well imagine Peter saying, do you not think the master is more important business? Don't be tiring the master out. I can smell the kids a mile away. He doesn't want to be suffocated with them. Now, I have to hold kids at arm's length whenever they've got dirty nappies. But this is literally what was happening. Christ is functioning in ministry. The disciples think, nursing babies on your knee, children on your knee, it's below. Don't be annoying the master. Do you know Christ rebuked his disciples? And he said, don't you forbid the children to come unto me. And he took them, put them on his knee, laid his hands on them, blessed them. What is that? That's the gentleness of Christ. The disciples were lacking it. Christ didn't lack it. He was gentle. Bring the kids unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. You also see in Luke chapter 7 concerning Christ and the woman washing his feet. He's in the house of a Pharisee, and he's in there, and they're gathering for a meal, and these Pharisees, these religious men, want to hear the teaching of Christ. Don't think all Pharisees were against Christ. They weren't. There were Pharisees who gathered and said, good master, we want you to sit at our table. We want you to come in. We'll invite all the best preachers in the synagogue. And we'll all be sitting here and want you to open up the word of God. Want to hear these things. Do you know, in the middle of this discussion, this little lady come into the room. And she's weeping. And she's broken. And she kneels down, doesn't say a word. And she kneels down. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And she's weeping so, so hard that her tears are soaking the master's feet. This is all coming out of a heart towards him. And she begins to dry his feet with her long hair. That's what she's doing. And do you know what the nice religious people in the room are saying? They're saying, huh, if he is a prophet, why doesn't he know what this woman is? She's an unclean woman. She's a sinner. And here he is letting her weep on his feet and wash his feet and dry his feet. Why would he let this unclean sinner do this? He knew everything was going on in their hearts. He just told them, Peter, because Peter was there. Peter, let me give you a little parable. Who loves me most? The one who's been forgiven most or the one who's been forgiven least? Who loves me most? Oh, master, the one who's been forgiven most. Exactly. Exactly, Peter. This woman, and says, your faith has saved you. That's what he said. He said, you know, Peter, a new bunch in here, all you men who know the word of God and are so fervent after me, who say you know everything. See, this, the gentleness of Christ being revealed to this woman. He knew who she was. He knew her past. He knew how she'd failed. But here she is broken, and Christ is very gentle. He protects her. in this gathering. He speaks up on her behalf. He's very careful concerning her. He's very sensitive to her. Do you know Christ is very sensitive to you? Other people may not be, but Christ is sensitive to you. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your difficulties. And he knows your struggles. This is Christ. Again in John 4, the story of the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, Christ meets her. It was against the culture of the day for Christ to go to Samaria. Culturally, Jews did not go to Samaria. Christ went. It was against the culture of the day for a man to sit down with a woman at a well. Christ sat down and waited for this woman and then talked with her at the well. But not only that, she was a woman who'd been in 5 relationships, and the man married 5 times, and the man she was now with wasn't her husband. All of this, do you know what Christ is doing? Can you imagine what the disciples, they are away looking for a hamburger, thinking of their bellies, they're away to get a meal. But where's Christ? He's waiting at the well for this little lady. Do you know what? This is his gentleness. There's a certain heart towards this little lady. Further still, we see in Luke 19, Zacchaeus and Jesus. Who was Zacchaeus? He lived in Jericho. He was the bad businessman. He was the man who had absconded the money, pressed everybody in the community for their money. He was a thief in a suit, in a white shirt and tie. I tell you, he was a businessman in the community, and he'd stolen money and laid burdens on the people. Nobody liked him. He was a tax collector. Nobody in the whole community liked this man called Zacchaeus. Nobody loved him. He had no friends. But you know what? This man heard of Christ and wanted him. He was seeking for reality. See, most people wouldn't give him the time of day, but Christ did. Christ is very gentle. Remember, he climbed a tree just to see Christ. What Christ did? Christ is walking by all the multitudes around him. He's not looking. Then he stops. He looks straight up into the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down now. He says, I'm going to your house for lunch. Quick, hurry up. Need to get back there. He says, this day I'm coming to your house. Can you imagine the comments? Can you imagine the gas? He's going where? He comes to the town. Who is he going to eat with? Who is he giving time to? Can you imagine the shock, the gasps, the criticism? But we're dealing with the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Or what about John 8, the woman caught in adultery, and she's brought to Christ's feet, thrown at him, and saying, Master, we caught this woman in adultery. Oh, right, so there was a man there. She was caught in the act. Where's the man? Where is he? There's no man. They didn't bring the man, but they brought the woman. You see, they don't care about righteousness. They just want to catch Christ out. And you know what? In that beautiful dealing of hearts, we see a revealing of gentleness. Who is he gentle to? Towards these proud hypocrites that were sitting in judgment of a broken woman? No, he actually showed gentleness, this little lady. He got rid of all the accusers as he wrote in the sand. And then he said, lady, where's your accusers? There are none, Lord. There are none, Master. Neither do I condemn you. He says, go and sin no more. Do you know all these lies? He wasn't ignoring sin. He wasn't doing that. But he was dealing with hearts that were broken, and he was very gentle, and he was very tender towards them. Now, love is the heart. When we've been dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, love is the heart of Christian character. Long-suffering that we dealt with last week is the backbone of Christian character. It makes you to stand straight and to keep going. But listen tonight, gentleness is the taste of Christian character. It's the flavor of Christian character. It flavors everything you do. It flavors your relationships one with the other. Gentleness flavors everything. It gets into everything. Ever, you know, you're cooking something, and if there's a strong flavor, put that pot of something in the fridge, it'll flavor everything in there. Or isn't there, and there's some spices, things like that. I'm not much of a cook, but I know a few things. Just put a bit of curry powder in a meal, it'll go through everything. And you know what? Just put kindness in the heart. Let kindness grow in the heart. It's going to affect everything. Do you want that? Do you want that sort of Christianity where gentleness marks your speech and your thoughts and your attitudes and your impressions and your actions, and it so filters through, it affects everything? Well, this is what the Spirit of God wants to do. This attitude or attribute that was in Christ, He wants it to grow in you. It is not actions or words. And to hear this, gentleness is not words or actions. Okay? But it is the motive, the intent, the desire, the temperament, or the disposition behind all of those things. It's a very fundamental internal characteristic. And in James 3 and 10 it says, out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and curses. Talking about people's tongue, how they use their tongue. My brethren, notice it says, out of the same mouth two things are coming, blessings and curses. What does he say? My brethren, talking to Christians, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. You shouldn't have two things coming out of your mouth, curses and blessings. It's an utter contradiction. He's saying, how can this be? How can a Christian utter a curse? It ought not to be. One minute he blesses, the next minute he curses. But he's going further because he has a lesson for us. Verse 11, does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Look, it's talking about two different types of water coming out of one fountain. There's one fountain. What does that mean? It's a source. When you deal with gentleness or sweetness, we're dealing with the very source, going right back to the very fountain. And he says, what? Does out of one fountain flow a river of bitterness and a river of sweetness? Look, he's talking about a person. And he says, he calls them brethren. He's talking to Christians, born again men and women. He's saying, out of the very innermost depths of your being, can bitterness and sweetness come? And in talking about this sweet water, he is talking about gentleness. He says, this ought not to be. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, notice how he keeps emphasizing that. He's dealing with it, he said, my brethren, he wants to grab the attention. Can a fig tree bear olive berries? No. Why? Whatever the source is, comes out in the life. If you have gentleness in your innermost being, that is going to come out of you. If it's bitterness that's in the very heart of you, it's going to come out of you. Whatever is in you will come out of you. Either a bitter water or a sweet water. Now what is it? We need the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, that this is going to come out of us in a very real way. He goes a bit further and he says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It ought not to be. It cannot be. But you know what happens? Bitterness comes out of a walk in the flesh. Sweetness comes out of a walk in the Spirit. Whether you're walking in the flesh or walking the Spirit determines whether bitterness comes out or sweetness comes out. It's two different rivers with two different sources. You don't get bitterness and sweetness out of the same source. It cannot be. Do you know what he's saying? There's two different sources. One in the flesh and one in the Spirit. One in the flesh, the old Adamic nature. It can only bring forth the flesh. Bitterness. But in the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, what comes out of Him? Sweetness, gentleness. That's how I can discern what's operating in me and through me. It says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice what leads up both lists, bitterness and kindness. Bitterness on the side of the flesh, kindness on the side of spiritual attributes. Again in Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So he's given a real warning and saying, you're going to have to give heed. You're going to have to give real attention here. Or the grace of God on your life is going to fail. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness. See what happens when the grace of God, if you don't let the grace of God work in your heart, something's going to come up in its place. You can't neglect the things of God's kingdom and think you'll remain the same. No. As soon as you neglect the things of God's kingdom, neglect the grace of God, or the work of the Spirit in your life, something comes up in its place. And here in Hebrews 12 he says, lest any root of bitterness. Notice that bitterness is a root. It's not just a fruit. It's a root. It's something deep within you. Bitterness is a root. And he says, if you neglect the grace of God, bitterness can come up. Where you thought you'd walked free of it. It actually says springing up. In other words, suddenly. And you go, where did that come from? Suddenly it comes up. Bitterness in the heart. In the deep places of the heart. And it trouble you. That's the first thing that bitterness does in the heart. It will trouble you. It will cause you problems. It will hinder you in your walk with God. But it doesn't stop there. This root of bitterness, it's got roots down in your heart and it begins to grow and spring up. It says, and thereby many be defiled. You show me anyone with bitterness in their heart, it affects other people. A bitter person is never quiet. A bitter person never keeps their bitterness themselves. Never, ever, ever. Amen. Or if they do, they're going through hell. And then there's a knock-on consequence. But it says bitterness. A person with bitterness in the church, he'll spread. They'll give their bitterness to someone. In Colossians 3:19, Paul writes again, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. No matter what they do, don't be bitter. No matter what they say, don't be bitter. No matter what emotional upheaval they may face, don't be bitter. You're to love them perfectly. That is the cure at all times. You see, the first great mark of gentleness is sweetness, a sweetness of spirit. We are all to have this gentleness and to grow in it. But secondly, strength. This is the second great mark of it, is strength. As I said, gentleness isn't weakness. Never think it is. Don't let anybody tell you, ah, sure, you're a poofter, although they can't say that nowadays. When I was young, if you're a wee bit soft or something, say, well, you're a poofter. Well, no. Do you know what? The gentleness of Jesus Christ, acting like Jesus Christ, you probably had a few years to get arrested for saying that. But the gentleness of Jesus Christ is not weakness, it's strength. The greatest strength you can manifest is this gentleness that we're speaking about. It is not the result of fear or cowardice. It is the result of great strength. Gentleness is real power. Gentleness is authority before God. Gentleness is the ability or the function of the Holy Spirit working through you. Now, what is gentleness? It is power, authority, and ability under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain that. It's ability under the Holy Spirit. Somebody says something to you, well, I can say lots of things back to them, can't I? But you know what? That I am gently put under the Holy Spirit. I'm under control of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says something to me, I could say a lot of things. Gentleness means that I keep my mouth shut. Amen. That gentleness will stop me. Do you know why? It's a great strength of character. It's not weakness. Oh, I could say a lot of things. I could hurt you just like you hurt me. And I could point out a lot of things wrong with you. But you know what? I'm not going to. I've got the ability. I've got the power. I've got the knowledge. I've got the experience. I've got the intelligence. But I'm not gonna. Or I could do something just back to you the same way, but I'm not going to. In fact, I don't desire to. The desire is not there. I don't want to harm you. I've had people do terrible things to me. And within my heart, I do not find vengeance. I don't want to get back a vendetta against them. It's been miraculous at times. I wish it was like that every time, but it hasn't been. But at times I've looked into my heart, and my heart's absolutely free. The people have done me most damage, most harm, and tried to inflict something on me the most. When I looked into my heart, I find my heart was absolutely free and clear. As I said, I wish it was like that all the time. Sometimes when people do a little thing, You react more and find something in your heart. But when I seen that, it amazed me. It shocked me. I went, this is the grace of God working in my heart. And you know what? I could do a lot of things back in them. But it took strength of character. It took the gentleness of Jesus Christ not to say anything or do anything or retaliate. That is gentleness. It is true strength of character. If you're in your workplace or family and people are doing things and you just walk in gentleness, sensitive to others, thinking of others, with manners, and conduct yourself like that, that takes a strength of character. That isn't weakness, it is strength. It says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It takes a lot of graciousness. It takes the character of Christ to give a soft answer when wrath is being given to you. Only in gentleness can you turn away wrath like that. It's not natural to give a soft answer, is it?
Yeah.
It's not natural. Let me give you an example with strength. The elephant. The elephant. You might think it's a strange example, but just 2 weeks ago we got a call from Candace's brother. He'd been in, was it Thailand? And he was there in Thailand and he brought back a gift from Thailand. A picture painted by an elephant. Now I wasn't very impressed until 2 days ago. Candace showed me the picture. To hear that, well, I thought, yeah, I'm sure that's some picture. This big brute of a thing, 16 feet high, what is it, 6+ tons of meat. I tell you, when those feet, I would not want to be under those feet. Yeah. It will leave an imprint wherever it goes. This animal is certainly amongst the biggest of animals in the world. It's the strongest of animals. And look at that trunk. Do you realize the trunk of an elephant has 150,000 distinct muscles in it. That trunk is very strong. It can break small trees out of its way without thinking of it. That trunk can lift all manners of things. Isn't that how they use them? Elephants in the history of warfare have been used in warfare against the enemy. They're unstoppable. Their strength, their size, their power. Nothing would stop them. Can you imagine stopping an elephant all armored up with soldiers on top of it? An elephant can carry 150 men and it won't blink an eye. It won't slow down to take a breath. But here's the trunk of the elephant, 150,000 muscles, and yet her brother watched in Thailand, never bought a picture like that in his life, but this sensitivity of this trunk, it picked up the paintbrush and began to paint what's the tree called, those little Chinese trees?
Bonsai.
Bonsai tree. And if you see this picture, Candace will show you later after the meeting, it's got intricate detail. This trunk could crush a man, but it also has the ability to pick up one bit of grass off the ground. An elephant trunk has the ability. In other words, what I'm telling you is gentleness is strength under control of the Holy Spirit. An elephant has all of this strength, but it's so under control when it's trained. Now, I wouldn't like to do that with a wild elephant. I wouldn't like to approach a wild elephant, but even her brother, the trainer even said, here, shake hands with the man. And the trunk goes out, and with that trunk, he shakes hands with the man. Now, an untrained elephant, I wouldn't do that. All that strength, untrained, under the control of a trainer, I wouldn't be going near an elephant. We were once charged by an elephant. And I was going, Lord, I'm going to see you very soon, or that elephant's going to have to slow down a bit. Come charging at us. It's a big animal, and that was a baby that charged us. What I'm saying is, the gentleness in the Christian is all the strengths, all the abilities, everything we can do. It is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Many things you could do, many things you could say, many things you could act on, but you don't. You could say something, but you don't. You could retaliate, but you don't. Why? The Holy Spirit is in control. We read concerning Christ in Matthew 12:20. And this is Christ speaking. A bruised reed he shall not break, and his smoke and flax he shall not quench. Look at the power in Christ. He created the universe. He created the galaxy. He is called the Almighty God. In other words, there's no limitation to his power. He's got all power from eternity to eternity. One day he's going to destroy the whole universe in his judgment and wrath. And yet look at him, a little weak Christian who he says is like a reed. It's like a bruised reed. He's not going to break them. Our smoke and flax, he will not quench it. In other words, they're just about to crumble. A Christian who's weak and frail and can hardly stand. And he's so tender with them. This is the one who has all power, yet it's control power. And the Christian's like that. The Christian's like that. We are under the control of the Holy Spirit. Romans 11, 22. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. There is a severity with God. That means his decisiveness, his abruptness. When people have rejected his mercy, one day he will judge them, but not today. There is a severity, but his severity is balanced by his goodness. He is very gentle today, but tomorrow he'll be very severe with sinners. Today he is gentle with us in this room, but let us be careful to not abuse that gentleness. He goes on, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, in his gentleness. It says in Luke 6:35, but love your enemies. Back to that verse again. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind. The word kind is gentleness there. Unto the unthankful and the evil. Do you realize people who are unthankful, unresponsive to the gospel, who are very hard, angry, jealous, bitter, do you know how God acts towards them? In kindness, gentleness. Do you know what our response is to be to people? They revile us, they're angry with us. They accuse us, they do things on. How is your response to be? In gentleness. If you're to be the child of your Father in heaven, gentleness. Thirdly and lastly, it's not only, gentleness is not only known by its sweetness and its strength. Remember, it's strength that you can control yourself. Strength that all of your abilities, I could do many things, but I'm not going to. Why? Because gentleness is in my heart. I'm gentle. I could hurt them. I could punch them. I was a boxer. I was 16 years old. Light heavyweight. Come third. I was glad I didn't get to the finals. It was a guy called Tiny. I wouldn't have wanted to fight him. The other's called Basher. That's true. I didn't want to fight him. Got to the semi-finals. I'm glad they were fighting each other and not me. But I made my mark and ran for it. I think I could use my fists okay, but you know what? Not even tempted to. Doesn't even come into the equation. But this third and last point, it's serviceable. Gentleness is known by being serviceable. And we said at the beginning, one of the definitions of gentleness is to be beneficial, useful, or usable. In other words, gentleness qualifies you in character that God will use you. If you grow in gentleness, mature in gentleness, because remember, every Christian's going to have this mark in their life. But it may be an immaturity. It may not grow much. You could have been a Christian 30 years. He's never grown from getting in the door. That was Lot. Do you know Lot? He made it to heaven only just by the skin of his teeth. He'll have had enough gentleness to get through life, but not to affect anyone for good. We don't want to be there. But gentleness makes you serviceable or useful. If you want God to use you, be gentle. Allow this fruit to be in you. And God will say, I'm going to use him. Or I'm going to use her because her heart, her spirit within her is gentle. Notice this, we read at the beginning tonight. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Notice that someone who's fallen by the wayside, or made a wrong turn, or made a mistake, don't send carnal Christians, don't send Lot to deal with that person. You that are spiritual, who are grown, who are mature. Not everybody can correct someone. or bring a backslider back, or deal with people with problems. Not every Christian is qualified to do that or equipped to do that. I tell you, some people, I wouldn't want them coming trying to get me. Their own life's a mess. Let them sort their own lives out. But Paul says here, let him that is spiritual go after the one who's fallen by the wayside and restore such a one, notice this, in a spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, if we are growing in Christ and we love Christ and we want to rescue someone who's fallen by the wayside or got caught in something that they shouldn't be involved in, fallen into it, he says, you make sure you do that with meekness and gentleness. Because if you try to correct someone or bring somebody back or recover someone back to the faith, and you don't do it in gentleness, you'll do more harm. I would not want an untrained person doing surgery in my body. I would not want some new doctor out of college trying to operate on my eye. Would you? I want, give me an old man with white hair who's been in it 30 years and he can tell me about 2,000 people he's operating their eye. Well, you can operate in my eye. Where the success is, yes, 98%, that's good enough for me. But don't send a carnal Christian to do anything in my life. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 and 8, concerning Paul and ministry, it says, but we were gentle among you, even as nurses, as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous towards you. Here's Paul in ministry to the Thessalonians, and he said, we were gentle among you. In other words, my ministry in your midst was marked by gentleness. And do you know what? Me as a preacher, I am to have a gentle spirit towards you. Paul had it. And Paul was saying, we the preachers, the leaders, the apostles, he said, we are apostles, we could have put many burdens on you. But he says, we didn't. We could have made many demands of you, but we didn't. Why? He says, I didn't. I'm treating you like you're my child. How does a mother treat her child? Very gently. Very gently. And do you know what? In the church, new Christians come in. There's a gentleness towards them. There's a gentleness. There's some things you don't necessarily pick up on. We get them through the nappy stage. It's okay to cry at night, but there'll be a day that's over with. There's some things we bear with, we're gentle with, but there's going to have to be growth. Things will bear at this point, not a year down the road, or maybe 5 years down the road. There's got to be growth. There's got to be a maturing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23 to 25, Paul writing to Timothy, a young preacher, giving instruction, and he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. This is what ought to be in the church in ministry. Not a harshness, not an abruptness, not a rudeness. Not a lack of consideration, but there's to be a gentleness. Leadership are to be sensitive to people. Leadership are to be concerned about people. Leadership are to be mannerly towards people. It is never right that I'm rude to you. It'll never be right. Such is wrong. And it says lastly as we close, Proverbs 31:26, and Proverbs 31 deals with what a woman is to be, the character of a woman. This is a highly acclaimed woman in the Bible. But notice this one thing. It says that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now notice, this is a godly woman, and it's talking about, she's not a preacher, she's not an apostle, she's not a church planter, she's not an evangelist. It's talking about her life in the home, towards her husband, towards her children. And it denotes what's the greatest, highest attributes of that woman. And this is just one of them. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom. Everything she says is marked by wisdom. But also it says her tongue, in her tongue. In other words, it's not just what comes from her tongue. It's in her tongue. This is something that's in the root of her tongue. It's the source of everything she says. Okay? Is the law of kindness. What's governing her tongue? The law of kindness. What watches over every word she says? The law of kindness. And ladies, what a great example that there would be a law of kindness or gentleness governing your tongue and men, all of us. But this lady in her home, the law of kindness governed everything she said. Now what is a law? It's a precept or a statute. A law sets boundaries on how you're to operate within those boundaries. It says, sets a left boundary and a right boundary and says operate between it. Do you know what this law of gentleness does? It sets a boundary over your tongue. It says, I'm not going any further that way and no further that way. And this is gentleness. My tongue is going to be governed by gentleness. There is a law of gentleness governing my tongue, and I'm not going to go beyond it. Isn't that a good law to be implemented in our tongue and in our home and in our church and in our personal lives? It also says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Do you know, this gentleness of spirit, this fruit of the spirit, this character of Jesus Christ, this mark of the genuine born again Christian, that we're to grow and don't be discouraged where you've lacked or gone wrong or hindered God in the way. We're to grow in this and to grow into it in fullness. But you know what? It's sweet. It is true strength. It really is. That's what the true strength of God is. And it's serviceable. Do you know what? It's suitable for any situation. It's good in any situation. Gentleness is good everywhere. It's useful. And you know what? God's going to use it. If you're gentle, God will use you to recover fallen Christians. If you're gentle, God will use you to reach sinners. If you're gentle, God will use you in ministry. If you're gentle, God will use you in the home. It's useful. But please remember, it is so sweet when brethren dwell together and allow this fruit to grow. Let's just praise him. I'm so glad that my Christ is gentle. Yes, he's severe with sinners, rebels, those who won't repent. But to us who humble ourselves and come to him, we find that Christ, he isn't hard towards us. He's not severe. He's not overbearing. He's not ignorant. He's not rude. He is so gentle, man. He is a real gentleman. He deals with us in such a gentle way, such a good way, such a useful way that he deals with us. I'm so glad that our God is a gentleman, that this attribute is in him, and I want it to grow in me. I want it to grow in each of our hearts. I don't want bitterness to spring up in our hearts. I don't want it to spring up in me. I want everything of the flesh to go to the cross. I want every bitterness to go to the cross, to be nailed there. But I want the Holy Spirit to bring forth sweetness in my heart. Doesn't matter what I go through, what people do, what people say, what my trials are, what I lack in life. I want to stay sweet. That when everyone meets me, that when if I should die and Christ hasn't come back and I'm being laid in that grave, that people say, he was sweet. There was a sweetness in his conversation. There was a sweetness in his manner. There's a sweetness in his attitude towards God. Let us as a church be marked by a beautiful sweetness, a mannerliness, a respect one for the other. Father, will you help us tonight? We just need the grace of God. We don't want the grace of God to come in our lives and to be wasted. We want the grace of God to effectually work in us and to bring us forth in maturity. We want meekness, we want gentleness to grow within us. Lord God, we want to be more mannerly, more considerate one of the other. Lord God, we want to be conscious of one another's needs. We want to have a genuine concern one for the other. We want to be gentle in our words one to the other, in our families, in our lives. Lord God, in our church, help us in the name of Jesus. And I pray that our tongues would be governed by the law of gentleness, of goodness, that there'll be a law of gentleness that will govern our tongues. Just help us, my God, in the name of Jesus. We love you tonight. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. You've been so gentle. You've been so...